O Christ, speak to me that I may speak for thee. Amen. A friend of mine recently told me about his neighborhood in which the people lived, sustained in a series of various serious crimes. Today, this could be almost any one of our neighborhoods, as we see crime popping up from place to place, even among the best and even among the worst. The crimes were of such a nature that they easily could have been panic in the neighborhood. Citizen groups began patrolling the streets. To control the panic, the police gave this official advice to people living in the area. Keep your doors and windows locked. Keep all outside lights on. And my friend shared that the neighborhood is usually quiet and dark all night. However, one night he got up at 2 a.m. and looked out the window. Up and down the streets, lights were blazing everywhere. It looked like the Great White Way of Broadway. He said he realized at this point his neighbors were living in fear behind locked doors. This is an experience that's becoming more and more prevalent in our time. And not all the doors are physical. Some of the doors are symbolic. Psychological barriers that people have built to keep themselves safe from the onslaught of life in a complicated world. The resurrection accounts of the Bible speak directly to the experience of living behind locked doors, whether they be literal or symbolic. For that is precisely the situation in which Jesus' followers found themselves. Our scripture lesson pictures the disciples huddled together in an upper room. And supposedly, traditionally, that upper room was about the size of the area right here, the chancel area, where the choir is. Upstairs, above a tomb room, one door into the room, several windows. And they jumped at every sound, expecting at any moment to see an angry crowd come crashing into the door. Fear clutched at their hearts as they hid behind locked doors. But the great news of the gospel is that Jesus really is alive. And Jesus' resurrection unlocked the door that held his followers in a prison of fear. The key that Jesus seen and used to unlock the door was confidence in the almighty power of God. Earlier that day, some of the women of the group who had followed Jesus discovered the empty tomb. And then Peter and John had been summoned too, and they saw the empty tomb. And as the day wore on, they became more and more convinced that the body had been stolen from the grave or the tomb. And as a consequence, they felt their lives were in even more danger. However, late in the day, when Jesus appeared to them in that room where they huddled, their conviction changed. From that point on, they lived in confidence instead of fear. For modern people, the resurrection of Christ still gives us the confidence to face life without fear. For the resurrection speaks of the almighty, indestructible power of God. It shows us that no force in the world is more powerful than God. Jesus' resurrection has also unlocked the door that held his followers in a prison of aimlessness. They found themselves at loose ends after the crucifixion. The group had been so close for 3 years and was not holding well together now. But on Easter Day, Jesus unlocked the door of aimlessness by giving them a new purpose for living. The scriptures record the commission of Jesus. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. He was saying, I have a job for you to do. I want you to be representatives in the world. That's what he's saying to us today. I want you to be representatives in the world. I want you to be who you are. And through you, I want the world to know my love for the world and for you and for God's creation and for what I have done. I want you to be the channel of the instrument of peace that I bring to you on this Easter day. He said that to his disciples and continuously says that to us. At the time, they didn't fully understand the job. But at least they had a renewed sense that their lives mattered. And so do every one of us this morning. Our lives matter. Our lives matter about what you do here at St. John's, what you do down the street in Versailles, what you do in your job, what you do with your family. Your lives are important, and they're important for God who created you, because you are the channel to enable other people to know of God's mercy and love. One of the most important things Jesus' resurrection can do for people of any age, including our own, is to give us a sense of purpose of living. Jesus' resurrection appearance and the task he gave his disciples assure us that God's primary method of working in the world is through God's people, through you and me. What good news for us. The resurrection that we celebrate last week says that you and I can be used of God right where we are. Jesus will give us purpose in our lives. He will unlock the door of aimlessness. The simple but profound truth is that you can do whatever you do in your life for the glory of God. You don't have to be the most intellectual person in the world. You don't have to be the most theological person in the world. Thank God, because I'm not, so anyway. You don't have to be the person who can almost do nothing. But what you can do can be to the glory of God. That is the purpose of our lives, to live in the world as representatives of God's presence. It is the key that releases us from aimless living. There's another door that Jesus unlocked for his disciples. He unlocked the door that held his followers prisoners of sadness. The mood of the disciples following the crucifixion was despair. Hopes had been dashed, dreams had been shattered, pessimism had ruled. But look at what happened to the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. The lesson says they were glad to see the Lord. They probably were jumping up and down as if UK had won the national championship. This gladness is not some type of artificial silliness that takes everything seriously. We're talking about deep, rock-solid conviction that life is good. To be sure, life has its problems. We had problems this morning, but we live through. We've had issues that happen to us. We live through. God is there to lift us up even when the worst thing in the world can happen to us. God is there to support and strengthen us. Easter's resurrection proclaims that life originates in the heart of God, and from the heart of God comes only good. So because of the resurrection, we can face life with joyous optimism. When we're set free from the shackles of fear and aimlessness, we're also free from sadness and gloom. So because of the resurrection, we can face life with joyful optimism. When we're set free from the shackles of fear and aimlessness, we're also free from sadness and gloom. And the good news is that happiness and joy can come to us where we are in our life. Happiness isn't found by changing jobs, or changing mates, or changing communities, or changing churches. Joy isn't found in some form off day when we are rich. I was just speaking with a friend of mine last night, and his wife is seriously ill, and they're not sure that's going to be something to do with it. And last month, up in Wyoming, they sold the family ranch, as he quoted, the largest selling price for that much acres ever. And he turned to me and he said, I've got all the money in the world, but it's not helping with Diane. Money does not always solve our problems. Joy is found by letting Jesus Christ come into our lives right where we are. That's what Easter is all about, letting Jesus unlock our doors, so that joy overwhelms us and happiness finds us wherever we are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.